And welcome in to the second hour of Robbie and Rex. I'll try to be quiet. And welcome into the second hour, Robbie and Rex Show. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
This is an NPR.
Oh, hello. I'm immediately thinking of Alec Baldwin and... You know what I'm talking about.
Sweaty balls.
Yeah, yes, thank you. Thank you, Adam.
You can say that on the air. It's fine.
Yes, yes. It was chocolate, you know, holiday treats is what it was about. Adam Vingan here in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, a fantastic host here, Caroline Willie and D. Mace. Just a fantastic person all around. Not a very good judger of sports arguments.
I was going to say, a questionable judgment.
A legend
when it comes
of
to
LSU.
Sports.
Not a very good judger of sports arguments. But other than that, pretty much infallible. Caroline Fenton. Caroline, how are you?
2 out of 3. I will take that. And I appreciate that very kind intro.
Don't forget
I'm
local
great.
Celebrity, by the way. That's Don't right. forget that.
Hey, I read the scripts I'm given, all right? I do what I'm told.
You didn't improvise that line? That was in there? That was written in the copy?
That was absolutely 100% from the suit, written in the copy. I promise you, if you want to believe I'm a local celebrity, I will. You go right at it. But, Adam, I do appreciate a sweaty balls reference before 7 a.m.
And Caroline gets that reference. Michelle?
You two are
Yeah, no, haven't seen
age.
The movie. Haven't. Yeah.
It's not a movie.
It's not
okay.
a movie.
Okay.
It's Saturday Night Live.
Yep. Nope, haven't.
Okay, real quick before we get into this, this is one thing. Now, this is actually much easier, Michelle, because the thing is, you just go on YouTube and, like, I just, like, some of these skits, like, you know, More Cowbell, for example, right? Like, we all should know More Cowbell. I don't think we can even exist as a human race if we can't joke about More Cowbell, right?
No. It's so, in the Constitution.
Now, that doesn't even require, like, sitting there and watching a whole movie. So we're going to work on that one, too. All right. Anyway. Caroline, actually, Adam, go ahead. You have a question for Caroline because we have some new information on the Titans or some new analysis of the Titans, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I'm sure this will be a hot topic of debate on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at 11 a.m.
But you better believe it.
But Bill Barnwell has a story on ESPN.com where he ranks the best and worst off seasons in the NFL.
He ranks all of the off seasons.
All of the off seasons. So he's talking about the best and the worst off seasons. Coming in at number 32, the Tennessee Titans, according to Bill Barnwell, had the worst offseason or are currently having the worst offseason in the NFL. Do you agree with that?
Your thoughts.
So let me analyze the Titans offseason alone, because I could, you know, I could argue that there were some pretty brutal things that happened with your Detroit Lions, Joe. You know, I don't necessarily think that they had the greatest draft in the history of the NFL draft. They have a bunch of their players that were suspended because of betting. Like, I know the Titans more than I know any other team in the NFL, so it's hard for me to say, oh, yeah, it was the worst in the NFL. Like, I could point out some pretty darn bad off seasons. Also, some pretty good off seasons for some teams across the NFL. Worst in the NFL. I mean, like, that's pretty bold. But I was also looking at The Athletic yesterday. And it was, you know, we're going to analyze the best move for every team's offseason. And it was put into rankings of, like, okay, you added much-needed quarterback stability. And I'm thinking, all right, cool. Like, this is where the Titans are going to be. And then they weren't there. And I'm like, okay, let's keep scrolling. And the Titans belonged in the category of you re-signed your best player. And that was the best Titans offseason move, was re-signing Jeffrey Simmons. And I thought, okay, well, how much better do you really get if you're just re-signing your best players? You know, it's better than the alternative of not re-signing Jeffrey Simmons, but you sign Jeffrey Simmons to an extension, you don't get better, you don't get worse, you stay the same, but you have that stability at that position. So I'm thinking, really? Was that really the best thing that happened? Like, I guess it was. And it's hard to rank off seasons because I'm assuming that we put draft in there, right?
Yes.
And I'm not the kind of person that – I don't like ranking drafts or judging drafts. Really, I don't think it's fair until like 3 or 4 years after that draft. Like, I was looking back at the 2021 draft and some of the grades, like the day after the draft grades.
Oh, they're always hilarious.
Out there, NFL.com puts out there. I'm pretty sure the Titans got an A- for that draft. Okay, well, let's break that down. Your first round draft pick, I think, has been able to contribute how many snaps? 15 total snaps? Okay, well, you know, that's an F. Your second-round draft pick, Dylan Raiden's, doesn't look so hot, and he also just tore his ACL, so not a great pick. And then Brady Breeze in that draft. I mean, Rashad Weaver might be a, you know, consistent starter for this team, but really that's the only bright spot of your draft in 2021. So I don't like to judge an off season while we are still, in fact, in the off season. So I take all of that with a grain of salt. If they think the Titans had a horrible draft, fine. That's their prerogative. Let's see in 3 to 5 years if Will Levis becomes a Pro Bowler and Peter Skoronski is the best left tackle in the league. Or Will Levis might be a bust and Peter Skoronski could be a guard. So what I think about that, could the Titans have had the worst offseason in the NFL? Sure. Am I really that worried about it? Honestly, no, I'm not, because I think that this team is in a better shape and better condition today than it was last year.
To clarify, the Lions were number 28 on the list.
Okay.
So they were had one of the top five worst off seasons.
Yeah.
For context.
Yeah.
And Caroline, the Bill Barnwell's main argument about why it was so bad was there's still uncertainty around Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and then Kevin Byard too. They asked him to take a pay cut. He called their bluff. He's still on the team. He's not in camp. And those moves, not being able to free up that space, compromise the moves that Rand Carthon could have made to further rebuild the roster. On top of that, Barnwell argues that at the league's most critical positions, quarterback, offensive tackle, receiver, edge rusher, and cornerback, the Titans are deficient. That is why he believes they had the worst offseason or are currently having the worst offseason, just for added context.
And the receiver argument and the Kevin Byard argument, those are incredibly valid. I mean, like, we've been criticizing the receiver position for, I mean, how long? Since before the draft, during the draft, after the draft. And I think the Kevin Byard thing, where it stands right now, I mean, we talked about this last night, Joe, on Joe versus Joe. Everything could turn out totally fine. You know, Kevin Byard could be back for the mandatory period. He's totally fine. Everything between the organization is cool. His contract is worked out. He feels like he's in a good place. The organization feels like they're in a good place. It could be totally fine. But right now, it is a question mark. And that's a little bit concerning because, one, who's playing safety? Two, Kevin Byard is, you know, a focal point of this team. I mean, he is a pillar of this organization. So very, very fair assessments of the negative things that have happened this offseason for the Titans.
So the only thing you just brought up something that, like you just said, the contract would get worked out. I mean, the contract is what it is. It's his contract. You know what I mean? Like, they asked him to take a pay cut. He's not. I mean, they've acknowledged they asked, and he's not. So it just comes down to, I don't know. We'll see. Like you said, I don't know. Maybe this becomes a huge thing. If Kevin Byard wants to maximize, you know, his time in the NFL and, you know, get the most out of it, he's going to play this year, and he's going to be the same Kevin Byard he's always been. I mean, like, this is where management – anger at management, again, has to be – I think we too often conflate that with some kind of locker room issue, and I fail to see where that's going to materialize here. But I could be wrong.
I don't think it's a locker room issue. And to your point, yeah, like, Kevin Byard is under contract. If the Titans don't like that contract, then they can do something about it. But, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a locker room issue, but I think not having Kevin Byard is – I'm not going to say a locker room issue, but not having Kevin Byard is definitely an absence in the locker room.
Sure, yeah. I mean, look, if he doesn't show up at minicamp, then I change my mind for sure. But like OTAs, every year there's somebody for some reason. And I'm sure this isn't just like, well, Byard, you know, they're building a new house and he just couldn't make it. I mean, but he did. I mean, Vrabel did talk about how
Tannehill's renovations.
He's fishing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. What was the?
It was Tannehill.
Celsius.
Was Celsius. Celsius. Celsius.
Yeah, Celsius. Yeah.
Shooting some Celsius ads.
Yeah, but I mean, they did. I know. Obviously, Vrabel was very interested in putting cold water on this the other day, but he did just see him at a golf tournament and talk to him and things like that. I mean, we'll see. If I was Kevin Byard in this situation, I'd probably do the exact thing he's doing right now because I would not be happy. And we don't know, right? We don't know how it's going to go. Man, I'll be really surprised if this turns into like a big thing. He's going to, and the big thing to me would be the Titans. Like to your point, Caroline, I mean, maybe the Titans decide, you know, that they're going to move on or they're trying to move him or whatever. But I mean, who, like you said, who's playing safety? They have Elijah Molden. They got Elijah Molden, half corner, half safety, and then didn't draft anyone, anything like that. So I think that they're going to pay him, and he's going to play, and it's going to be the same situation with Kevin Byard. But we'll see.
Elijah Molden, also half corner, half safety, and also always injured. So if that is your, you know, grand plan at safety, if in fact the Titans do decide to move on from Kevin Byard, which, again, I don't think that is going to happen. But like you said, Joe, we just don't know. It could be nothing. It could be the biggest thing ever. We just don't know. But, I mean, if that's the frustrating thing sometimes with this team, and it was the same thing last year of who's playing right tackle. Well, we'll have Dylan Radins do it. Well, really? That's your grand plan? You know, if you move on from Kevin Byard, who's playing safety? Elijah Molden. Okay, well, he's always been hurt. So that's, you know, what are you doing there? Who's playing receiver? What's the plan, Willie? What's the plan?
That's a trigger word for Willie Donick. Plan. Don't use the word plan in any context.
Speaking of which,
to avoid the P word in our show as much as possible.
What can we expect today on Caroline, Willie, and DMAs?
Well, hey, that's a great question. Let's check and see some of my notes, some Tajay Spears notes. I saw some stuff come out from some TD about how impressed he was with Tajay Spears. I was also looking at ESPN.com, kind of their projections of which rookies will lead certain statistical categories. And Tajay Spears' name popped up in a couple of those. So I thought that was very interesting. I know that the obvious story when the Titans decided to draft Tajay Spears was, well, he doesn't have an ACL, and he has arthritis in his knee, so what the heck is going on there? But I think that what at least I have failed to look at is, yes, he's got the arthritis in the knee, and no, he doesn't have an ACL, but also can't tear an ACL if you don't have one. It's smarter, not harder.
Yeah, like that gif. Yeah, I know the gif you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that aside, what can he be? You know, how can this team use him? So I think a little bit of Tajay Spears talk also. Want to get D-Mace's thoughts on Tim Kelly's remarks about the wide receiver position, because Tim Kelly obviously seems super, super juiced about the receivers that he has to work with this year. So a little bit of a sneak peek behind the curtain.
There we go. That'll be at 11. Local celebrity Caroline Fenton, we thank you very much. Have a great day.
At your service. Thank you guys both. Have a good one.
And when we come back on Robbie and Rex Show, we're going to react to Caroline and also get into some Preds lessons. Preds lessons per Adam Vingan from these here Stanley Cup playoffs. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Robbie and Rex Road is presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Adam Vingan in this week for Robbie Stanley. Plugging along, loves waking up early in the morning. And before we get into the Preds and the lessons that you wanted to get into, anything else from let's we talked about this off the air. Let's again repeat this, okay? Kevin Byard is not in a contract negotiation. Kevin Byard does not have an unresolved contract. Kevin Byard has a contract. He was asked to take a pay cut, which the Titans acknowledge, which I don't believe the Titans would have acknowledged if there was ongoing negotiation about his contract. What this is, right? So, I mean, like anybody who's like, oh, the contract situation, there's no contract situation. He is under contract. He's getting paid. He's going to get paid what his contract says he's going to get paid. Now,
amen.
Is he upset about them asking? I would guess so to some extent. But, I you know, this is where we'll see how this turns out. But I'd be surprised if it's even like actively upset. I think this is just like, you know what? I'm not going to come to OTAs. And it really doesn't matter. If he's there at minicamp and in camp and does all the Kevin Byard things, we're just not going to care about this at that point. But I understand that right now it's May 25th, so we talk about things.
That's what sports talk radio is all about.
Scream it to the rooftops. He is not under contract negotiations, yeah. People. He has a contract. He will be getting paid.
Actually, it would be awesome if like Byard does show up. Like, he shows up for minicamp, and then Rand's like, hey, KB, hey, man, how you doing? Hey, so you're sure, right? Not taking a pay cut? I just want to figure out, ask you like one more time. Can we just try one more time?
So what are we thinking? How are we doing? A little time away.
I mean, remind me, you said no, right? Did you say no? I forget. Did you say maybe you take a pay cut? I can't remember.
He should report to mandatory minicamp just making it rain with all of the money he refused to give back.
Oh, there you go. The Jalen Ramsey Brinks truck with all the money that he's like actually still going to get paid.
The gun that shoots out dollar bills. Like, he should just come onto the field like that. That's.
I don't know how to transition from that to the Preds, but just tell me. You are running this show today. Tell me about the Preds. Yeah, basically. Tell me about the Preds and the lessons they need to learn from what we've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs that they have not been a part of this year.
So over at The Athletic, Sean McIndoe, better known as Down Goes Brown, has a story from the other day talking about lessons to learn and what to avoid based on the four teams that were in or are in the NHL conference finals. So I thought it was interesting in the context of the Predators, obviously. And let's talk about Florida. Let's use Florida as the example, as they are the first team in to the Stanley Cup final, sweeping the Carolina Hurricanes last night. So Sean lists out three fun lessons and one lesson to avoid. So his three fun lessons, and we'll talk about them a little bit each. So his first one is make that off-season blockbuster. Of course, the Panthers acquired Matthew Tkachuk last offseason from the Calgary Flames. They sent Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar the other way. Now, Tkachuk was a restricted free agent who kind of forced his way out of Calgary. He let them know he wasn't going to re-sign there. Or he was about to become maybe this year he would become a restricted free agent. I can't remember. Either way,
he was not going to be there long term.
He was not going to be there long term. So this is what Sean wrote about that. Quote, more importantly, it's instructive to look back at how the Panthers got this deal done. With other teams sensing weakness in the Flames position and trying to lowball them, Bill Zito, GM of the Panthers, elbowed his way to the front of the line and slammed a big offer down on the counter. He gave up key pieces of his roster, a roster that won the President's Trophy that previous season, and some even thought he had overpaid. In hindsight, he clearly hadn't. The lesson here: be aggressive. If a player you want is available, don't get cute. Swing for the fences and make it happen. Yes, it puts your neck on the line as a GM, but if you're more interested in making your team better than protecting your job, here's your model. And it's funny because we talk about ways that the Predators can get better. And we've talked about they're going to need to probably tear it down and be bad and put yourself in a position to draft a top-of-the-line player who can change the fortunes of your franchise. Now, that's more of a crapshoot than making a deal, which is why we've talked about trading UC Saros. Now, that probably is going to make you bad and put you in that position. The Panthers are an interesting case. As I said, they were a President's Trophy winning team last season.
Yeah, like it was like, why? I mean, obviously the postseason didn't go well for them. No. But at the time, it was like, you sure you want to break up that crew?
Right.
That's awfully good.
And
Barkov was and I think still is one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yes. But when you look at the Predators roster, now this is where it's different, of course. Like I said, the Panthers were working from a position of strength in the sense that they had a player like Jonathan Huberdeau who was more or less expendable. When you had someone like Barkov and you had a deep team like the Panthers have with your Carter Verhaeghes and your Sam Bennett's and your Anthony Duclair's and yada, yada, yada. The Predators don't necessarily have that depth, but they have a player in UC Saros who could fetch the type of player that could help transform this team. So oftentimes when we have these conversations, we hear it on the text line, we read it on the text line, we hear it on the phone, like, we don't want to trade UC Saros. He's our best player. Well, as Jared likes to say, teams don't want want the players that you don't want. Like, teams don't want Matt Duchene. Sorry. Teams don't want Ryan Johansson. They want UC Saros. So if you have to be aggressive, and that's something that I hope Barry Trotz, that aggressive mindset is something that he adapts early in his time as GM.
James on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if we give up Saros for a Maple Leafs player, better be Mitch Marner. And, of course, we've talked some about who that would be.
Right.
The larger point is, and this is where timing is interesting, because I think the traditional way a lot of people have been, not traditional, but the way, the conventional wisdom on what Barry Trotz is going to do is that next summer is the big summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. I mean,
you can make a case for it not to be.
Right.
For it to be this summer.
Right. To me, I feel like this season for the Predators should be a continuation of what we saw in the second half of last season after the deadline and after all the injuries. It should be, there should be an emphasis on youth. Like, I don't think, I personally do not believe that the Predators should intend to compete this season. And I'm not saying to tank. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying to strip it to the studs. But it's a team that should rely on its youth, learn those lessons, and if they miss the playoffs, that's kind of what we're, you know, that's kind of the plan. Like, the other thing, and we talked about this at the top of the show, the thing that this Panthers run is going to bring up around the NHL is just get in and anything can happen. But people seem to forget, as I said, this Panthers team, yes, they were the lowest ranked team in the field, but they were the President's Trophy winning team last season. And minus Huberdeau and Uyghur, who were both very good players who didn't have very good seasons in Calgary, they still had the core of a really good team. And, you know, they had Barkov, they had Verhaeghe, they had Bennett, they had Ekblad. You know, Bobrovsky is playing out of his mind in the postseason. You know, the Predators are not on that level in terms of the depth that they have. So right. That's the one thing I'm worried about, is that people are just going to say, see, the Panthers did it, so just get in. As Floyd used to say, just get me to the playoffs, baby.
Gover, are you listening? Gover. Gover. Well, he's just a big just get in guy. Yeah. I want to hear it, Gover.
I think it's a fallacy.
When we come back, more lessons from Adam Vingan on the Preds and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Join 102.5 the game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together. Come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs like Caroline
Fenton. Caroline.
To support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road in the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Adam Vingan, more lessons from you. Come on, what's your next lesson?
I'm afraid to mention Predators. I'm afraid to mention this, but I just looked this up talking about the get in and anything could happen. Uh-huh. The Panthers and Predators had an identical record this season.
Oh, there's
dude, they were 42-32. They were both 42-32-8.
There's been tons of here. You know, this is just here's another great example. Just like the Preds of back then. Nate on the text line says, "I hate the quote just get in and anything can happen notion." The 2017 Preds weren't even as good as this year's Panthers team. The thing about the thing about the Preds then is I think that they were certainly better than, like, the 16 seed in the league that year, right? We can agree on that.
In 2017?
In the 2016-2017 season.
They underachieved, but they did not underachieve during the regular season to the extent that the Panthers underachieved this regular season.
Right. But, I mean, sure. I'm just saying, like, that was – that team, they had some injuries. They had some inconsistencies. It was the first year with PK Subban. There were stretches where you knew that team was very good.
Yes.
Like, it – so, now, hey, look, they messed around, and they actually fell to that last spot late and all that stuff. So, and then the next year, they win the President's Trophy, which, to the point here of an unnamed texter, while you're doing lessons, can you go over the moves the Predators made the year after they won the President's Trophy? Well, it wasn't even all just the year after. It was also the year of the President's Trophy. They made the tourist trade. I mean, that's the big one.
That was a bad one. That was a real bad one.
They also had the first rounder for Ryan Hartman, who is another one of those guys who's looked pretty good when he's not here.
Yeah, he's carved out a nice little career for himself in Minnesota.
Yeah,
with Freddie Gaudreau.
Now, to your point on, that's right, which is amazing too, what he's done. Honestly, to your point on the Soros thing, Alex from Montreal says goalies do not hold trade value in the NHL. They may not hold the trade value, some think, Alex, but they hold trade value.
Right. But here's what we're getting at a little bit too. So another lesson, a lesson to avoid. This is from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is written by Sean McIndoe at The Athletic. So Vegas Golden Knights, who are up 3-0 in their Western Conference Final Series against the Dallas Stars. This is Sean's lesson to avoid. It doesn't matter who's in net, because Vegas has been dealing with a ton of injuries. I believe they had 5 separate goaltenders start a game after the All-Star break. They had been dealing with a ton of injuries. So this is in part what Sean wrote, quote, In the playoffs, it's been career backups Laurent Brossoit and Aiden Hill for the Golden Knights, and they've been more than good enough to beat a Vezina finalist, Connor Hellebuck, and an all-star, Stuart Skinner, in the first two rounds. So does that mean NHL teams should just shrug and roll the dice on whoever's healthy in goal? Not necessarily. It's fair to say that not every team's fourth or fifth string is going to be this good, but it does mean we're probably all overthinking the most important position in hockey. You need a great goaltender to win in the playoffs, but they only need to be great for those 2 months, and good luck figuring out who that will and won't be.
Yeah, okay, so my answer to that is, so have a great goaltender, and then you don't have to guess if you're going to catch lightning in a bottle.
Right.
This postseason is not a good postseason to precede a team's attempt to trade a goaltender for major assets. Okay?
Right.
This particular but it will, I'm confident in this.
Or even last year. I mean, look at the goaltender who won the Stanley Cup last season, Darcy Kemper.
Right.
He was fine.
He was a fine goaltender on a loaded team. My beloved Detroit Red Wings of old.
Your Chris Osgoods?
Yeah. Mike Vernon, Chris Osgood, sure. Now.
They had Dominic Hasek.
Now, later, they went and got Dominic Hasek, and that's why they added more cups.
Right.
I mean, he was a big
They basically part. Had.
They actually argue both sides of this.
How many Hall of Famers were on that 2002 stage?
Because they had Robitaille
at that
point. They had Robitaille,
Brett Hull.
They had Hull at that point. They were the Yankees. I mean, they were the Yankees of the time.
Was
pre-cap.
Iserman still?
Yeah, they still had Iserman and Shanahan and all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they were.
Did they still have Fedorov? Sergei Fedorov?
They had Fedorov.
Yes.
I mean, it was absurd.
And they
were just starting to bring in Zetterberg and Datsyuk, I believe.
I mean,
it's insane.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, a team like that, you're okay.
That was a pre-cap world.
They were the Yankees. Now we have a cap. But look, there's going to be a Jonathan Quick postseason coming up too. I believe it. We're not heading toward goalie irrelevance, right?
Right.
I mean, let's pump the brakes on that a little bit. Now, still, I mean, Alex, you're right. Maybe people on the text line talking about trading Soros for Dreisaitl. I mean, you're going to get laughed at.
We talked the other day about trading Soros for Alex DeBrinkert, and you warmed up to it.
I mean, that's the range, right?
Right.
It's that range that I think you have to be realistic about if that's what you're looking for. Because, look, the Preds have loaded up with draft capital now.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to parlay that and the space and more space coming into, to me, proven players.
Right.
Proven forwards in particular.
Yes. And teams will, you know, to your point about, you know, it always helps to have a great goaltender. Teams still want that. I mean, we've mentioned Edmonton. You know, Stuart Skinner was a rookie goaltender who was not supposed to be the starter, but Jack Campbell, their big free agent signing, was bad. And Stuart Skinner, who parlayed his season, you know, his strong rookie season into, I believe, a Calder Trophy finalist appearance, you know, faltered in the second round against Vegas. You know, you look at teams. You mentioned the teams that are still alive. I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky has won the Vezina Trophy twice, but he hasn't been good in a few years. I mean, he was below average during the regular season and has been playing lights out for the past month and a half, and that's all you need. But at the same time, the Vegas Golden Knights have Aiden Hill, a career backup who's won 5 consecutive starts and has been playing like a Bobrovsky-like goaltender, that caliber of goaltender. So it's really a crapshoot when it comes to goalies. But the thing is, when you look at the Predators' roster, we're not talking about their prospects, we're not talking about their draft capital. When you look at their roster, their active NHL roster, they do not have very many players with significant trade value. We talked about Roman Josi. Look, Roman Josi just won the Norris Trophy a couple years ago. But he's in his early 30s. He's got several years left on the contract with a $9 million cap hit. He's dealt with multiple concussions, including this season. It's, you know, how much value. I mean, people would love to have Roman Josi, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's not trading Matthew Tkachuk, you know, who was, you know, entering his prime, and you're seeing why right now.
Yeah. A lot of thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonHyundai.com. Sean says Hartman was traded because he wanted a $5.5 to $6 million contract signed with Minnesota for 1.7.
He was traded to the Flyers for Wayne Simmonds at the deadline the following year.
Get some guys for the hard areas.
Brian Boyle, Wayne Simmons
trading deadline. Yes. Oh boy.
And then I think he was traded from Philadelphia, Hartman was, to Dallas, and Dallas didn't want him. Like, I don't think they re-signed him, and then he signed on the cheap with Minnesota and had, you know, the great career he's having right now, I guess.
Yeah,
I think that's what I remember.
Like you said, nice little career for himself. Lessons for Nashville. This is another text unnamed. You can't build a team around a safety, Kevin Byard, or a goalie. The beloved or expendable won't get you where you want to go. Nice stories, though. I don't think the Titans are built around a safety. He's a great player, and they paid him, but I think you can.
The Predators have been building themselves around a goalie for 25 years.
Yeah, and like it's not like they haven't had any success. It's right. Just that the name of the game is right now, it is having whatever you want to call them. Big boy forwards, top shelf forwards.
Yeah, big boy forward is trademarked from 2-6.
Oh, is that his term?
Yes.
Now I feel bad about myself. Robbie and Rex are presented by TJ Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team to see why they are referred so often. And when we come back on Robbie and Rex Road, it's time for the Rex Rant.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious. I'm victorious. It's so stupid. It's a terrible song.
See, I'm okay. I like that one. That was fast. You know, just get it over with. It's fine. It's a lot more tolerable than the Snoop Dogg remake or the
I love a Rex rap or even
the Lions singing. I mean, I think I perfectly summed up Glorious Domination there. How about what do you say there, Vingan?
Yeah, it ran its course.
What, my imitation or the actual song?
The actual song.
Yeah, well, the chorus was run years ago.
I like it.
Well, I'm going to switch to basketball for this because I got a great stat. Now, I always throw the stat out, of course, about Michael Jordan against Isaiah Thomas in the playoffs. He's 1-3. But I came across another fantastic stat the other day. Do you know Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, their teams played each other 48 times. Do you know how many of those 48 games Michael Jordan won?
No.
Take a guess.
How many games total?
48 games.
How many did Michael Jordan win? 21.
Michelle, would you care to take a guess?
I'm going to say above 35. More than 35.
Michael Jordan won 16 of the 48 games he played against Isaiah Thomas.
In my defense, I was saying over 35 Isaiah Thomas games.
Oh, I got you. Okay. No, so Isaiah Thomas won 32 of the 48.
I was close.
This relates. This is not just me being a kid with Isaiah Thomas as my favorite athlete and hating Michael Jordan as a kid. This relates to the current NBA, where I see a team like the Phoenix Suns, and they don't get it done. You know, Chris Paul gets hurt, but look, they've got Devin Booker is a superstar for sure. Now, if Jason Tatum's a superstar, Devin Booker is a superstar too.
Thank you.
I don't know either quite is. I think they're both stars. They're both great players. They have Kevin Durant, who at times I still think he might be the best player in the league. They did not get it done, so they fire Monty Williams. And look, in pro sports, coaches get sacrificed. I mean, in the NHL, we know a lot of times it's just like, nothing else we can do. Contracts are guaranteed. Fire the coach.
And we're about to have a Stanley Cup final with two teams with coaches in their first years with the team.
But I want to ask you, do you think that firing Monty Williams, and this is now me, you know, taking a shot at my buddy Matt Ishbia.
I was about to say.
Former Michigan State walk-on Matt Ishbia.
I was just about to say that.
Do you think it was a good move? I think Monty Williams is a good coach. You know what? You know what's different about the Phoenix Suns? And this relates to the Isaiah Jordan thing. The Phoenix Suns traded away all their good role players.
Yes.
And they don't have depth, and it's a team sport. Why did the Los Angeles Lakers make a run when this year they were such trash?
Two words, Austin Reeves.
Well, he's
a big one.
They
traded Russell Westbrook and got good role players who could amplify LeBron and AD.
Yeah. I mean, you look at different times. Now, Jared Vanderbilt up and down. D'Angelo Russell up and down. Austin Reeves was excellent pretty much consistently.
Hachimura
killed Memphis. Role players. Isaiah Thomas is not a better player than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is one of the two best players of all time. Why did Isaiah Thomas dominate Michael Jordan? Because they had a better team. Michael Jordan was in his prime, the prime of his career, when he scored 63 points in a playoff game against Boston. It was a joke of a playoff series. That was, and I don't even know if they won that game, actually. They might have taken one from them. He was a defensive player of the year, MVP, leading scorer, all these things in the NBA in his mid to late 20s, the absolute prime of possibly the greatest basketball career in history, and he didn't do jack in the playoffs. Why? Because it's a team sport. It is the most superstar-driven sport for sure, and everybody's talking now about LeBron. They're going to bring in Kyrie, which is a very interesting idea, and I don't know if it could work. It'd be fascinating to watch. But it is so – Isaiah Thomas beat Michael Jordan's brains in because he had James Buddha Edwards in the post, and he had John Sally and Dennis Rodman coming off the bench, and he had Vinnie Johnson coming off the bench hitting jumpers, and he had Bill Laimbeer leading the league in rebounding, hitting and pissing people off, and he had Rick Moore. He had great role players, a great team. When Michael Jordan got Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant got better and B.J. Armstrong came in and John Paxson and Steve Kerr in the corner hitting threes, he won championships because it's a team sport. It's so hard for people to look at basketball, in particular the NBA, and consider it, but it's in your face all the time. And it's very frustrating when people don't get it, including, I think, owners who can't look at the roster situation with the Suns and say, we used to have a team with a lot of depth and a lot of really good guys off the bench, and now we have two great players and we have no bench. We have no production off the bench. We have no depth. We're tired at the end of games. Let's look at the Denver Nuggets. They're going to win it all. Do they have a great player? They have a great player in Jokic, and I think Murray is pretty close too. But you look at like what a Bruce Brown does for them. Absolutely. You look like an Aaron Gordon has kind of, he was supposed to be a superstar in this league. He's not, but he's a heck of a role player. It's a team sport. I mean,
look at Miami.
Look at the Sacramento Kings.
How many undrafted players does Miami have that are making an impact for them?
And, of course, Jimmy Butler's the story. He's the star, without question. And that win in Boston, he just took over the game. But
like Max all Strus, those guys, Duncan Robinson, yeah,
Well, the guy who's really been amazing is the other undrafted guy. My gosh. And this is exactly the point. Like,
he's from Chicago.
His name is eluding me, and he's fantastic. Now, I'm really embarrassed as I'm making a rant about
I looked that up. I just wanted to ask you one thing as it relates to the Suns. We're going back a little bit. What would Tom Izzo think of that flop from Matt Ishbia when Nikola Jokic was fighting for the ball?
He would approve.
Oh, man. Well, Izzo's the biggest hater of, like, flops or, anyone trying on his team even flopping, which sometimes it's like, yeah, you gotta let people flop sometimes. Draymond flopped a lot because
there are some videos of LeBron in this last series against the Nuggets, and he's just not even touched, and he's like,
oh yeah, absolutely. No, I mean that's a completely separate rant of the soccer. It's Caleb Martin.
Yeah.
Caleb Martin's been ridiculous. They don't have Tyler Hero, and they're doing what they're doing because it's a team sport.
I mean, look at Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry was the starting point guard of a championship-winning team, right, in Toronto?
Yes.
And
even like a guy like Cody Zeller comes off the bench looking like Kurt Rambis, but throwing himself around and making a play. It's still, of course, it's more driven by stars, and one player – can make more of a difference, obviously, than in other sports because it's five people on the playing at one time. So I get it. It's the most star-driven of compared to the other sports, but it's still so overlooked. Two things: the team aspect of it, yes. Also, the fact that defense matters. Glenn from Greenbrier says the early years of Bulls Pistons rivalry, the Pistons were in the heart of their run. Bulls were an emerging team that was still building. Sure. Plus, Bill Laimbeer just punched everyone who drove to the basket. Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, buddy, I'll show you some Bill Cartwright and Dave Corzine highlights. I mean, how about Charles Oakley before the Bulls moved him? Yeah, the Bulls protected the rim with some force a little bit too. Gabe Vincent, yes, that's another one. But I was thinking of Martin. But Gabe Vincent's another role player who's been huge for the Heat. So
that's who I was thinking of.
I would just like to thank you all for allowing us to talk more basketball. Robbie, enjoy the beach, man. We're talking hoops.
We're talking hoops.
We're talking some hoops on here.
I completely agree, though. You should have stayed friends with Matt Ishba or became friends with him. Missed opportunity.
I wrote the first big feature in a newspaper on Matt Ishba. That's all I'm saying.
As someone who roots for Duke, that was an elite level flop Matt Ishbia.
That was a very good flop. A friend of mine just got a job with his company, by the way, so got that going for me. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. This week's Nashville Best Deal is Beach Bend Park at Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. And when we come back on Robbie and Rex Show, it is time for our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports.